Welcome to Pulse and Perspectives, the show that brings you the heartbeat of healthcare innovation and the vantage point of industry leaders. I'm your host, Neil Thornberry, CEO of TJ Regional Health. In this special podcast episode, I'm joined by my good friend, a true advocate for healthcare, Representative Steve Riley. Today, we'll explore healthcare legislation and the impact of current and upcoming healthcare legislation and the pivotal role it plays in shaping the future of healthcare, especially in rural communities. I also want to add that Representative Riley is intricately involved in healthcare throughout Kentucky as he sits on the House Health Committee as well as the Interim Health Joint Committee. So again, Representative Riley, thank you for coming. And just want to also add, he has quite a tenure in Frankfort and in Kentucky. For us, been a huge advocate, but he's been there since 2017. And it feels like he's been there much longer because of his tenured role up there and how he is perceived by his peers up there as a real leader in that in Frankfort as well as in the state. But thank you for joining me today, and I certainly appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure and honor to be on the show with you today and talk about healthcare in the state and also healthcare in our local area. So I'm very excited about this. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So firstly, let's start out with some of the legislation that you've worked and kind of facilitated in this past year in 2024 with the session earlier this year. I was reading where you were a real advocate for House Bill 194, which was a focus around workplace violence for healthcare workers. Share a little bit of your thoughts on that and any context around that.
Well, I think we had a bill that was going to deal with workplace violence for healthcare workers. I don't remember the exact field that bill was in, but I said in a committee meeting, well, if we're going to do this, why don't we just extend it to everybody? So why don't we extend it to doctor's offices and dental offices and physical therapy offices? And if we're going to use protection, workplace violence against our healthcare workers from patients or families or whoever that may be, then why don't we extend it to everybody? So the sponsor of the bill said, great idea. And the chairman of the Health Service Committee said, great idea also. So we just expanded that bill to protect all healthcare workers in regards to workplace violence. I think it's something that needs to be done. Our world, in many ways, we become an angrier world, unfortunately. And so I think we need to be able to protect people that are in the workplace from people coming in from the outside and losing control and committing violence against them. So I was really glad we were able to do that. And I'm glad I had a little bit to do with it as far as the idea of it.
I would agree. Unfortunately, over the last kind of what we can consider kind of a post-COVID, if we're in post-COVID, although it's still quite prevalent in our communities, we certainly have seen a lot more frustration and a lot more incidents throughout several of our clinics, throughout our emergency department, places like that. So when we see legislation like this, for us, for the community, and I can tell you, healthcare in our community, from what you just described as the doctor's office, the dental offices, we're just a healthcare neighborhood. And we all look after each other, and we certainly support each other. And this has been a real opportunity for us that we've had to work through. So when we get support from, again, good policy, it helps us. It does. It means a lot because, again, we're here, we see ourselves and we are servants to the public, trying to make sure we get the public the options they need to get good health care. So this allows us a little protection to do that. So we certainly appreciate all your work on that.
Thank you, Neil. And I also believe that healthcare professions, like a lot of professions in our society right now, we have shortages. And we sure don't want to allow things that are going to prevent people from becoming nurses and doctors and physical therapists and occupational therapists and all kinds of other medical jobs. So I think it's important that we let them know that we value them enough that we're going to protect them in the workplace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, another place that I want to highlight is really the support that you had, and I know a lot of your colleagues up there had, in helping fund what for our hospital system, and again, we're what we consider a very intimate hospital system, rural community in Kentucky, and we serve several counties throughout this area. But legislation and in and around the legislation is very important. But certainly when we ask for help, you and your team and really has done an exceptional job of responding to us. And I'm speaking directly about this year receiving the $2 million funding from the state to help us build out a 33,000 square foot facility in our TJ Health Pavilion to really serve the community and serve the counties here and the surrounding counties that we serve. So you want to share a little bit about that process? And I can tell you, thank you for Marion, but Any insights you have around that would be fabulous.
Well, you know, I think last summer I had discussions with the folks at TJ Sampson and others about looking at getting some funding for the addition that you wanted to make at the pavilion. And then a big part of that, Neil, is it was a budget year. So you get with legislators. And what we did was, I remember we had a meeting with you and Karen Kelly, your lobbyist, and several of the representatives and senators, including Senator Givens, and discussed that last summer. And then as we got closer to the session and the process got going, we continued to put that in the mind of the people who craft the budget to make sure that we included that addition into the budget. So we really, really worked hard on making sure that that would get done. So a lot of it's just establishing relationships, showing a need. I know the budget chair is Representative Petrie, and Representative Petrie has been up there the same length of time that I have, and we're very close friends. And he always talks about return on investment. And I think it was very important that we were able to show them how TJ Sampson was going to get a return on their investment with this addition. So I think that was very important for us to look at it that way. And I think we had some success in being able to convince people that this project was needed and it would be something that was beneficial to the citizens of not only Glasgow and Barron County, but the surrounding areas that you guys have a big foothold in. So I think that's what we basically try to do, is just establish that. And I think you guys were very organized and made sure that you had your ducks in a row as far as why the need. And I think that your lobbyist, who no longer is a lobbyist because I think she's gone back to Washington, D.C. to work with Hal Rogers, she did a really good job of keeping that in the forefront. And so we were able to get that $2 million. And I think it matched the federal grant. I think Representative Guthrie was able to get a federal money for that. And also, I think you guys threw money in, T.J. Sampson did. So it was a good deal of working with both the federal and state agencies and T.J. Sampson in ensuring that we would have that project here in our community.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that's, for us, you know, we're probably about 5 years ahead of schedule on the space that we're building out, which really speaks to the volumes that we are seeing and have seen. And we've just ran out of space for our physicians, primarily a lot of our specialty physicians that have so many patients. And again, when you do the market research, we need so many more in this area to be able to serve the population. And that third level, and really the return on investment is this, that third level, when we're able to build it out and again, be able to place the physicians that we've already recruited, trying to find them space in there, it will serve this region for 5+ decades. Like the hospital has been here for 95 years. We've been operational over there for a little over 11 years now. And again, just the sheer amount of people that that area will serve by building out that third level and allowing us to bring in more physicians, it'll help the health of our communities throughout this South Central region that we serve.
I'm excited about what you guys are going to be able to do with this.
Yeah. So how about, and again, I know this is kind of a broad question, but what do you see as some of the future legislative concerns in and around healthcare moving forward?
Well, Medicaid is always a concern because it is not the largest piece of our budget, but I think it is the second largest piece of our budget behind education. So, you know, how to provide more services to as many people as possible in a very timely manner. We always talk about it, trying to do this. I think we've got to really make sure, one thing we talk about a lot in our committee meetings is rural hospitals. And I think we've got to make sure that we continue to make sure that rural hospitals can be viable. You're from Eastern Kentucky, I think, originally, Neil, and you know the problem with rural hospitals in that area of the state, where people have to go a long number of miles to get to a hospital. We're a little bit more fortunate here, but you know, a lot of the area that you guys serve is far enough away from here that if they have to go another additional 30 miles or 50 miles, it makes things even more difficult. So I think we've really got to make sure that rural hospitals stay viable and work on legislation to try to do that. One of our biggest advocates for rural hospitals was Representative Danny Bentley, and he's leaving. So I hope we see somebody else come to the forefront of that and be an extremely strong advocate for rural hospitals. So I think that's an area that we've got to do. And then, and this deals with health care, we've got a major substance abuse problem in the state of Kentucky. Unfortunately, if we were the only state that had a problem, we could probably deal with it even better. But this is, of course, obviously a nationwide crisis. And so we've got to continue to try things that will help with that situation. But that's, I know that's a crisis that you guys have to deal with every day and the state has to deal with. So those are a lot of the topics that we deal with. And with the thing about, you know, the Health Services Committee is it's never ending and it never will be ending. It's something that you continuously got to stay on top of and continuously try to work with. And I know our chairman, Representative Kim Moser, does a great job. And She has a medical background. She's an eco nurse, and then her husband's a physician. So, and a lot of the members of our health services committee have either experience in the medical profession, or as in my case, I don't have any professional experience, but I do have a wife who was an RN and dealt with a long-term care and geriatrics for a long time, and then a son who's a dentist. So a lot of us in that committee either have a direct time in medical or we have family members that do.
Yeah, and to both your points, I would agree. I think at this point, and I may not be exactly right, but I'm close. TJ Regional now is one of only 9 independent hospitals in Kentucky left. So protecting the rural community hospital, and that's really, for my career, I can tell you, the 25 years that I've been here and worked in rural medicine, that's why I do that, because it's such a need and it's easily overlooked, especially in the world of healthcare where there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions happening. You know, for us, we really want to keep healthcare decisions local. We want to make sure that we're making decisions based on our neighbors and our friends. So I would agree, any piece of legislation that helps us maintain our independence or maintain the quality that we're able to provide the people here in this community and the communities we serve is very much needed. And then also, like you said, substance abuse is for us a major issue in the hospital, as well as mental health. And those are tied together very tightly, unfortunately. And those are just 2 big areas that we're trying to get. I think we're always trying to get good funding for, and that's a challenge, but it's also a challenge to get a lot of the patients that have these issues to the treatment. Because again, there's just a lot of things that drive them away from that treatment, or they have to, again, want that treatment. So I would agree, in Kentucky, we're definitely dealing with that crisis, and I feel like we'll continue to deal with that. But I do know, and I've heard a lot when I've talked to yourself and your colleagues in Frankfurt, that there really is a priority about trying to get this solved for Kentucky. And I know we'll be successful in it, but it's certainly not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussion and done a lot of work on mental health. And, you know, I think that there's always been mental health issues, but I think that was exacerbated by COVID. I think that became even more prevalent. Not only that more prevalent, but I think it also became more into light, more into focus, that we started recognizing that even better, and all the needs that people were having with as far as mental health is concerned. And I know I'm a retired educator, and I know they're dealing with it in that field, but I think everybody's basically dealing with it. And of course, when they are able to go get help, they're coming to you guys. So I think that's something that we've really got to continue to hone in on. And we passed some legislation dealing with mental health, but I think we're just in the infant stages of dealing with that issue.
Yes. Now, the last piece I want to make sure that I touch on, and I know it's always hard when you're receiving a lot of acknowledgement, but as you mentioned, your wife being in healthcare and your son being in healthcare, I just want people to understand that the type of representative you are is the type of representative I wish everybody could experience, because you are very ingrained in our community, in the communities that you serve and represent. You're very in tune with what we're doing here in healthcare and the hospital, as well as all of the industries and economic kind of growth for our area. So I appreciate you being boots on the ground. I can speak to your spouse and her work with the foundation and all the different programs that we have in our community. And I know you're just right there with her. And again, your son actually sits on one of the hospital foundation boards. So I certainly appreciate all your work and your family's work and dedication to the area and to the community. And I want you to be up there forever, because you do such a great job representing us.
Well, you know, what I'll say is the Rileys love Glasgow and Barron County. My wife and I, neither one originally were from here, or like you, I grew up in Bowling Green, but my wife grew up in Columbia. And it's funny that when we ended up both 35 miles from where we both grew up, but in different directions. But we've been here so long that this community means everything to us. So I think that's very, very important. I'm very fortunate as a state representative is that I only serve one county. I have every bit of Barron County, and only that. There are only 3 out of the 100 members of the House that have that situation. So it makes it even easier for me to be in tune with this, because these are the people that I've served for over 30 years in the school system. And it's a place that we've grown to love. Lisa and I have grown to love this community. And we feel very fortunate that Matthew came back to do his dental practice here. And so we do care about this community. We do want what is right for this community. We want to see our community thrive and be successful. And there's something to be said, and I think that's one of the important reasons of a rural hospital. You know, it's a lot easier to care about people that you know. It is. Not that you don't care about everybody, because you strive to care about everyone. But when you know them personally, and you know their family members and you know that, it's a lot easier to then be in a situation where you want to help that community as much as you can. So I thank you for saying that. You know, I feel very fortunate to live in this community. I feel very fortunate we have TJ Sampson, local hospital, that their number one priority is serving the medical needs of the people in our community and the communities just beyond us.
Yeah, to your point, my family and I have been here for 25 years, and I tell everybody here, we are not from here, but this is our home.
Yeah.
And we care deeply about our home. And again, to your other point, everybody that is in our hospital today, I either know them personally or I know somebody that does know them. They're all our friends, our families, our neighbors. And I tell you what, it's a privilege to do, and it's a privilege to take care of these people because we love it. And I think that's the beauty of healthcare.
And well, one thing, like you, Neil, we don't always get to choose where we grow up, but we sure do choose where we live.
You're exactly right.
And I grew up in Bowling Green and loved it. I had a great time. My great parents and enjoyed my experience growing up in Bowling Green. But when Lisa and I got married 40 years ago, we moved here, and man, we love the place. And I think a lot of that is it's hard to love places where people aren't good people or people aren't friendly and accommodating. They care about each other. It's really easy to love a place where people care about each other. And so I think a lot of that, a lot of the feelings we have for this community is because of the people in this community and the way they are and the way they handle things, the way they treat people. I just feel blessed that Lisa and I have been able to be here for that length of time and to be a big part of this community.
Well, I want to thank you for your time, and certainly I appreciate all your service and the representation that you provide our area and for all the work that you do for our hospital system. Again, words cannot express it, but I certainly want to say thank you from myself and all the team and all the people that I work with.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. So thank you for tuning in to Pulse and Perspectives. It was a pleasure to have Representative Steve Riley with us today, sharing his insights on the healthcare and the impacts of legislation. We hope you found our discussion enlightening and that it sparked ideas on how these innovations in legislation and how it might shape the future of healthcare and experiences and services. Remember, as healthcare evolves and policy changes occur, staying informed is the key. For more discussions like this, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform, and please share your social media channels. I'm Neil Thornberry, and until next time, keep your pulse on the future and your perspectives wide open. Thank you.